I'd like to begin this afternoon with a prayer and ask you all to join me, because certainly these are some very difficult times for us in the Church of God, and we're not happy with what's happening, but we have to face it, and we have to go on and deal with what the problems and difficulties are that we're facing. We knew the Bible tells us that there would be trials and problems down through the ages. It always has been since the Church started, and we know that there is someone alive and well on this planet who would like to see God's efforts through the churches of God destroyed. So if you would please just join me, we'll have a short prayer here to ask God's blessing on what I have to bring to you today. Our loving Father in heaven, with deepest reverence and honor we come to you through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior. We know that we are living in very dangerous and stress-filled times. And we know, Father, it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better according to the prophecies of your word. But we know that as long as we focus our minds on the great plan and purpose you're working out, and knowing that everyone that is called and loves God according to that great purpose, we will find the good end results when it's all said and done. Trusting in you, the living God, is all that matters. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, you've given us access through to your throne so that we can come boldly to ask help in time of need. And there is a time of need really right now for all of us, as the adversary has launched his attack against us, and we need your strength and your power and your wisdom to go through what has to be done in the testing and trialing of our faith, because faith is under fire now in the lives of all, both minister and lay person. We do ask for your blessing. We ask for your guidance and help. And we humble ourselves before you, the living God, asking for your guidance and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what I want to do this afternoon is I'd like to begin by asking all of us a very important question that we all have to face. This question has to do with the very foundation of our spiritual life, and it goes like this. Is your spiritual foundation rock solid? That's the title of the sermon. Is your spiritual foundation rock solid? And the reason we need to explore this and look at this is because of the trials that are going on right now in the lives of many of God's people, and especially with regard to the sad departure of many of our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellow ministers who have now wanted to launch out and do something totally different from what United pledged itself to at Indianapolis back in 1995. And so this was a somewhat sad period of time. Some of you, if you got to go to the Winter Family Weekend, you were literally bombarded by different thoughts and attitudes that were circulating among the people at that time, asking questions, trying to find answers. We know that we have a lot going on right now on the internet. We know Facebook has an awful lot where people are pushing back and forth their ideas and things of that nature. And some of it may be true. Some of it is a mix. You know, they say there's three points, this, that, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And that's what we're all hungering and thirsting for, is the truth of God in all things. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ was the rock that followed ancient Israel. And because of that, Israel failed to recognize that they themselves were dependent on that rock in order to survive the wilderness that they were running through from departing from Egypt and heading now to the Promised Land. We ourselves are struggling each and every day to maintain the faith that was once delivered to us in the calling of God in our lives. There's no easy answer for all things. You know, we live in a day and age today where we have instant coffee, instant tea, and we want everything instant. If I asked you how many of you would like to go back to dial-up computer, I think you know what I'm saying. No way, Jose. We don't want to go there. We want everything faster, faster, faster. When it comes to spiritual matters, that doesn't work. You don't get fast, quick answers when you're dealing in the Spirit. In fact, you are told constantly in the Scriptures to, in your patience, possess you your soul. And we're told that as once you have need of patience, like Hebrews tells us. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, then you will receive the promise that we heard in the sermonette. And that's certainly what we're all striving for. But we have to recognize that human nature does play an awful heavy part in this battle of overcoming. And human beings have different ideas and different opinions of things from time to time. And even in the United Church of God, when it started and when it came forth out of Indianapolis, many of us recognize that there were two trains of thought that basically were the main fusion within United. Several small elements broke off from United in those earlier days. They did not want to necessarily go that way. They had their own ideas, but it hasn't materialized as far as what they wanted to do. But what we pledged onto is that we would work in cooperation and recognize that we must do what? We must seek the will of God and work together humbly with one another and in consensus come up with the answer, because in a multitude of counsel there is safety. That's what we signed on for. We didn't sign on to be stubborn. We didn't sign on to say it's my way or the highway. We signed on to say, Lord, what is your will? Because we did not know in those early days of United Church of God where we were headed. But we stepped out in faith, and it worked for a while and continued, and church congregations were blessed. Ministers were in those congregations. Brethren were able to keep the holy days and do the things we pledged. We said we wanted to have youth camps. We wanted to keep holy days. We wanted to have pastors in the pulpit. And one of the most important things we wanted to do is we wanted to preach the gospel and prepare the people for what is coming. That is a mandatory thing for anyone who sincerely wants to serve in the Church of God. Now, the Church of God is composed, as you know, it's a spiritual organism made up of men and women who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? That means you are striving to live by the commandments and the laws of God that are written in your mind and in your heart to the best of your ability. And you must recognize also that you have human frailties and that we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And certainly, as an organization, the United Church of God has failed in some ways. It has not done everything perfect, nor can we expect any organization of men to do things perfectly. If that organization exists, please let me know. I would like to find it. That is not where it exists. It exists in the hearts of those who are humbly walking with God. And organizations are formed to help us proclaim the gospel message. That's what United was founded on. We wanted to get that gospel message out. Now, the problem we've run into is the fact that those trains apparently have separated, and we have now had situations that have arisen where ministers, as some of you know, and most of I think you know now as fast as communication moves around, that there's been a large number of ministers in the state of Florida and Texas and some other areas that have resigned from the United Church of God for this reason, that reason, what have you. Our purpose is not to throw stones at anyone. Our purpose is basically to keep you informed what United is striving to do. They are going to apparently start their own church. They're going to start their own way of doing things to fulfill what they think they need to do. That's not what we signed on for. We signed on to say, look, we will all work together. We might have differences of opinion, but we have to humble ourselves before God and keep self out of the way. This is not to become a tug of war as your ideas, my ideas. Some things work better than others. And what has happened over this past period of time is that we have all sensed that something has been hindering the United Church of God. And we know the big picture is that Satan, the devil, is a hinder. He is in this world, and he works behind the scene, and he works on everybody. I think we need to understand, we as individuals are not paragons of virtue, that we are sinless. That's why we keep the days of unleavened bread, to remind us that we have to put sin out of our lives, and we have to ask God humbly with repentance and seeking repentance, and the goodness of God leads you to repentance, as Romans 2 tells us. And you have to do what? You have to keep moving forward and always doing what the Scripture says, seeking the will of God according to the Scriptures, the Word of God. The Bible is a basis for all our teaching. We don't understand as human beings all aspects like we should. No group does. But I'll tell you this, it does hurt very much when individuals, and I have asked because I've talked to some of the elders in other groups that are doing their thing, and I asked them, why can't we get along? And why can't we humble ourselves and work out these differences that you say are such problems that you can't overcome them? With God, all things are possible. And if we get our carnality out of the way and our pride and our vanity, we should be able to address these things. But that's not the way it goes. And you know how sometimes these things get into loggerheads and problems develop. And apparently, the sad part of this whole thing was that while under the umbrella of the United Church of God, this group of individuals, however sincere they may be and believe they are, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, God is their judge. I know many of them personally, some classmates from the past. It hurts like crazy to see this thing happening. But it tells me that, oh yes, there is a devil. And oh yes, he will attack wherever he can. And in this case, he has sown discord in attitudes of minds that not only are affecting God's people, but it is impacting the ministry from really doing the job they were called to do as a body of believers in United. Now we're going to have to regroup. We're going to have to do the best we can and make the most of what we have left in the United Church of God while this other group forages out and they're going to do what they think they've got to do. So time will tell as the dust settles which way this is all going to go. But one thing is for sure. God is telling us that our faith in Him is crucial. You and I have to recognize something that God is very concerned about. We should have learned this lesson years ago with WCG, where we came out. And that is that we cannot put any organization, we cannot put any man or anything, and I'll paraphrase Jesus Christ in the gospel accounts where he says, you cannot put mother, father, son, daughter, and yes, even your own life before me. Or otherwise, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Take up your cross, your burden, whatever that is. And we all have crosses and burdens, and this is a heavy burden we've got right now. Who wants to see people separating and going off in different directions? I don't like to see it. I know many of these men. They're fellow brother elders, and I just hate seeing it. And at the same time, my heart goes out to brothers and sisters in Christ because families are going to be, again, divided in some ways. People going in this direction, people going in that. And if we're not careful, we fall into the trap because the Bible says that a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Jesus warned that. And that certainly, we know that happens when we're first given the knowledge of the truth. And people find out we're going to keep the Sabbath and the holy days and that. A lot of our family members looked at us and thought we were nuts. Thought we were crazy because of doing this. You know, why don't you go to church on Sunday like everybody else? Well, we can't. It's a matter of conscience in the true sense of the word of the Scripture. But then we're a spiritual family as well. And that's what I don't want to see. I don't want to see us battling each other as brother against brother, organization against organization. Let everybody live their faith according to God. We in the United Church of God are pressing on. There is a large element from Florida and Texas that are involved in all of this. But under the mantle of the United Church of God, these individuals orchestrated what you are now experiencing. Under the mantle, while they were receiving their paychecks from the United Church of God, they were working to build all these things because the bottom line is this, folks. You just don't do things like that overnight. It's a plan. There was a plan in operation, and you're going to find more and more as more things keep coming out that this is a situation that had been calculated a long time ago. And so when I hear charges of, oh, the council is unethical, And I asked one individual one time, because I heard that charge, I was talking, and they said, the council was unethical. And I said, what do you mean unethical? What did they do? Oh, well, they're unethical. They didn't do this and they didn't do that. I said, those are accusations. You're not giving me facts that I can make a sound decision. And if anything is unethical, I would have to say, as sincere as I would give everybody the benefit of the doubt, if you're being paid by the organization called the United Church of God, and you're working to undermine it by creating another whole new operation, is that ethical? Not in my mind. Not in my mind. Now, you'll have to make your own decisions on that. But I'll tell you, I don't like seeing what has happened, because Satan has really pulled a number here. He's really attacking the foundation of everyone. And that's why I say, is your foundation rock solid? Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7 and notice verse 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Jesus likened unto, after he completed his statement here in verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings, the things that he has said, the things of mine, and notice, and does them, because not the hearers of the word, but the doers are justified before God. It says, and he said, I will liken them to what? I'll liken him to a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. Well, where is the beginning of wisdom? Where does it come, folks? You will know as well as I do. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if we fear God, that means we're building our house, our life, our spiritual life, on the words that Jesus has guided and given us, so that it will take us on that straight and narrow path that leads to the kingdom of God. He goes on and he says here, notice the next verse, and something happened. The house is being built. He says, and then the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house. Yes, there have always been trials and will be and tests in the church of God. God's people down through the ages have always had trials and tests that test their faith to see, well, are they looking to God, or are they looking to men or the things of men? Are we trying to build an edifice to ourselves? This is one of the problems that was ensued there, although it may be denied by some. Many of these individuals, where this thing really surfaced in the Church of God, was when that so-called decision to go to Texas. And when Texas was approved, that was when a certain group were in the control of the Council of Elders. Now remember, the Council of Elders they're not given a freedom to just go do anything. They're subject to the General Conference of Elders. Nothing can change by the Council of Elders unless it is approved by 75% of the GCE when it comes to, say, for example, doctrine. So if somebody says, they're changing the Sabbath, they can't do that. They don't have the authority to do that. So that's important to keep in mind, how the basic structure we all agreed to. Now, as it goes on, that first determination to go to Texas, when that was put forth, it was only by 7 votes different. It was virtually a 50-50 deal almost. So half the ministry was for it, half the ministry was not. Then the next year, after finding out that there was more information involved, more problems, for example, the original property was next to a toxic waste cleanup place. That wasn't good, but we weren't told that in the beginning stages. And so as more information came out, what would you do? Continue to stay on and go with that property? No, it was premature. And so the next year at the General Conference of Elders, a resolution was put forth to rescind that. Again, it was by 7, I believe, some votes very close to that, almost just about the same. But it reversed it the other way. In the meantime, there were individuals now coming on to the Council of Elders who would take up their new positions as others left. Well, as the other ones moved out and the new ones moved in, there was a power shift. So now you have basically going on an internal power struggle in attitude. The group that wanted to go to Texas did not like that decision. And what we fail to understand sometimes is that man's determination and learning and understanding does not thwart the will of God. Some were saying that this is the will of God that we go to Texas. Well, if we had gone to Texas, we would be in serious trouble today, because the wisdom of God showed that it was best we stay where we were. The facility we had was paid for, and the property that we have down there in Texas right now, which is a different property, but I understand its value has gone down because of the market going down. So these are things that, again, were happening. And when that was rescinded, and it says, nope, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go to Texas. We're not going to build a college. We're not going to build, you know, to the time factor is there's not enough financial monies to do all the things, brainstorming that far down the road. So what has happened now? Well, by doing what has happened recently, we now have a situation where it's almost guaranteed that we will not have a sufficient number of ministers to do as much as we would like. No wonder it says, pray that the Lord will send laborers into the field. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Because, again, Satan's desire, and that's what I think we need to always remember, Satan's desire is to dilute the effectiveness of the work of God. And what happened here, and what you see here, is that the importance of this statement, being built on a rock, is critical. And that rock better be Jesus Christ in all of our lives, and that is who is the head of the church, we're told in Scripture. Then it moves on down, and it says, there's another attitude that comes, and it says, the other individual, it says he's going to, everyone that hears not, in other words, does not respond to Jesus Christ in his admonition, does not do as he outlines here, is like a foolish man. Now, what is a fool? Only a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, they may not say that outwardly, well, I don't believe there's a God, but when you do not seek to do the things that God has said in the Scriptures, we're acting foolishly. We're acting as if we can operate contrary to what the Scripture says, and we can't. And so he goes on to say, the same thing happens there. And then all of a sudden, it says, and when it fell, it says, great was the fall. The spiritual foundation collapses, and the house goes to the ground. I remember a song years ago. I don't know where it comes from, but I always remember this stanza. You may remember it as well. It says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? Shifting sand. And we can't afford to build our lives on shifting sand. Shifting sand will not cut it. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And he has a parallel account in Luke 6, verse 47 and 49. But I'd like to take you now to another place. Another place that we need to look at here, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, you're familiar with this as a general overview, but I'd like to focus on something here that you may have missed as you've gone through this. It says these are perilous times. These are stress-filled times. And it goes and says the type of behavior, the type of thinking that would be in the world around us. And that's why it's such a battle of overcoming, because we have to come out of her, my people. It says this type of mentality, they would be lovers of pleasures and lovers of God. No, it says they would love pleasures more than of God. Having a form of godliness, but doing what? By their actions and by their behavior, they're denying the power thereof, and from such turn away. Then you're introduced to two individuals called Jannes and Jambres. Now, most of us, who's Jannes and Jambres? Well, Paul uses these two individuals to train another minister coming online, Timothy, a younger minister, and he cites these two individuals as people who were always opposed to the things of God. Remember, Moses and Aaron came, let my people go, and Pharaoh called for his power boys to come in, and they were the religious leaders of that time, magicians, and they did, you know how it goes about the snakes and everything, and how God's spirit finally ate the others up, and then they realized, whoop, this is of God, we can't touch this. Well, he goes on and he shows that this type of attitude that were there, this resisting Moses, resisting the things of God, was paramount by these guys, Jannes and Jambres. And secular history has something in there in the books about them, a little bit more, I guess, in the Jewish writings would give you that. You and I are told that we would have to do what? Continue in the things that we know from the Word of God. It says, and as we do, it says we would see what? We would see a world around us where there would be deceiving and being deceived, and you and I are told to continue. You've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, verse 15. And then it says, verse 16, all Scripture is given, and it is given for a purpose. And then it lists all those purposes. The Scriptures point out to us something very important about this, that these men that Paul was teaching Timothy is the type of men you will run into from time to time. Individuals who have a form and ceremony of godliness, but will do what? They will deny the power thereof because they have their own agendas. Now, that's not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm just telling you what the Scripture tells you to look at and judge the fruits, and that's where all of us have to go. And notice, if you will, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, we find something very interesting from the Apostle Paul. In verse 27, he makes it very clear. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God, all the counsel of God, as outlined in Scripture. And then he warns in the next verse, he says, take heed therefore. What are we supposed to be mindful of? He says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock, he says, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And then he goes on to say something that we all need to take note of, because it's so easy to get caught up in a routine of religion that we fail to recognize that judgment is on the house of God. And every individual must make a very, very deep study of the Word of God. The Church of God is not meant to be a social club. It's not meant to be a social club. While we do have social opportunities and interface, what we're supposed to be is the people of God. And what we see here, he says, for I know, this is the Apostle Paul talking, he says, I know that after my departing, when I'm out of here and I'm no longer here to give you the point and the direction you need, he says, grievous wolves will enter in among you. There have always been tares among the church of God, tares among the wheat. And the Scripture says, leave it alone until the time when God says, when the harvest is ready, the angels will go forth and they will collect the wheat and separate it from the tares. He says, also your own selves, you're going to see men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Perverse things? What? What kind of perverse things? Well, it could be a misrepresentation of the Word of God, or it could be a character assassination of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a whole lot of that going on right now. And if you're attuned to some of these things that are flying on the internet, you know what I'm talking about. And you tell me, is that the mind of Christ? Is that what we're supposed to emulate? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's one reason why, at this juncture, I stay with the United Church of God. Because I believe the United Church of God, as it originally intended, was good in its concept and still is good. If everyone will humble themselves and walk humbly before God. If any organization will not humble themselves before God, we saw what happened in worldwide. God doesn't need it. He can raise up stones to do his work. And that's why you and I are told to cry aloud, according to the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 58 and verse 1. He says, cry aloud and spare not. Show my people their sins. This is wrong behavior. And if you read down in 1 Corinthians 10, where I gave you and told you about the rock that followed them, it tells you that all this is written for our learning at this end of the age, and we're not supposed to be murmuring and complaining, and yet that's what you see happening. Boy, this internet is just absolutely, it can be a wonderful tool because you can find out anything you need to know and you wonder, how did they get that all in there? On the other side of the coin, there's an awful lot of poison out there. And if you fill your mind with poison, it begins to have an effect on you sooner or later. So these are very, very serious times for all of us. Jesus made it very clear in the end time that the problem would end up being just like Jesus experienced in his life on this earth. Who were his constant adversaries? Who always attacked him? It was the leadership of the Jewish community, the church leaders of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they attacked. And what did they attack him about? Oh, you're trying to do away with the law. You're trying to do away. He said, no, I didn't come to do that. I just came to fulfill and show you how to do it. Because that's what's required. We all need role models. And Jesus is the perfect role model to show us how it's done. And when we fail, which we do as human beings, we have to go to God and ask for his forgiveness. And he's more than willing to forgive us when we trust in him. If we trust in the things of men, for example, in the Old Testament, I think it was Jeremiah where he says, you trust in lying words. What was that? The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. When you got so raptured in an organization or in following men, then you're guilty of something that can really come back to haunt you, and that is idolatry. You're following something, an edifice built by men. You're not following that which is spiritual, which is built by Jesus Christ. And it's called the Church of God, which temple you are. And so if you're part of that temple, and that's where you want to be, then you want to make sure that you keep a solid foundation that's rock solid. People used to say years ago, I used to hear this comment, they say, hang in there. I don't like hang in there. The reason I don't like hanging in, it sounds like I'm holding on to a rock with my fingernails and I'm about to fall. So my retort back would be, stay rock solid. In other words, pointing them back to Jesus Christ. Because you can't lose when you have him as your focal point. But human beings can get astray at times, and all of us have done so, and carnality is something we all have to deal with. So one of the things that we have to do is recognize what it says in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. He says, be not deceived. This is very important that we're not deceived. He says, God is not mocked, and whatsoever a man or a woman sows, that shall they reap. So what are we going to sow in the United Church of God? Well, we're going to sow faith. We're going to sow seeds to preach the gospel. That is interesting to note that, again, back when the councils were in different structure and the attitudes were somewhat different from one to the other, here's what happened. One particular individual who was in charge of media was given media money to preach the gospel. Then they asked, how come you're not spending it all? He didn't spend it all. He held it back. And he says, it's going to be for the ministry. Well, why do we need it for the ministry when it's allocated for the preaching of the gospel? And come to find out, the WGN had been offered to us back then, but was not stepped through that door. Now, later on, with the new council coming in, that offer came back again, and we moved forward on WGN. So United now has a visual presence. And many asked why. Well, you know, if we're preaching the gospel, how come we don't have a visual presence? Well, yes, it costs money. But we now have that. God opened that door, and now we have 260 markets plus all of Lower Canada that's covered by WGN. What a wonderful door that God has opened to us. And when something like that happens, you can rest assured something else is going down. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter reminds us of who our adversary is and why we must be on the alert. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. You and I are admonished to be sober, to be vigilant. And why? Because your adversary, the devil. Now, we have been handicapped and hindered by the devil over these past years. We should have been able to do a whole lot more. We've all sensed that there's been an undercurrent that we could not put our finger on. Now, I believe it is exposed and full-blown, and we see why. And what has happened is that we have individuals now who want to do something totally different. They're saying, I don't necessarily want to go based on what we signed on to in Indianapolis back there in 1995. Well, that's something that's just, they're just going to have to go and do what they have to do. But we will continue on with the basic guidelines as it was set up in United. The ministers that have left are not all the ministers in the Church of God. The United Church of God, two-thirds of the ministry are still there. That means pastors and local elders combined, because all those that you see on those lists on the internet and what have you that have resigned, they're not all church pastors. They are local elders and some who are in those areas who have been highly influenced by what they were being fed by those pastors on a regular basis. And one particular individual, I was talking with him, and he made a certain statement, and I said, now, How do you come across with that? Where do you get that? And basically, all I could come up with is that because all the rest are doing it, maybe I need to join ranks here and be a part of this too. Because nothing more concrete was given as an answer. Now, in those situations, again, we have to defer to God. God is the one who is going to sort the wheat from the chaff. He's going to let us know what's happening in the process of time. There are individuals who are on the internet who give some very good, I would say, balanced, objective understanding. One particular one that emanates out of Canada, that particular individual, he was kind of slanted, he says, in the beginning, because he always was hearing the arguments of the ones that have left. And then when he started digging in deeper and finding out, and he wants Jesus Christ, God, and the people of God to succeed. He does not want, he doesn't play favorites, he's not part of United, he's not part of them, but he has got a lot of people looking and agreeing with him. And the reason why is because he's being objective in his approach, and he's saying right now, he says he's very fearful, and he's warned some of these individuals, he says, you're moving into bad territory. And what you have done, you have allowed yourself to be conned into something because, again, he recognizes the devil is the real adversary. People are not our problem, folks. Sometimes we look at people and we think, you know, well, that so-and-so over there, he's a this or he's a that. And we can get carnally involved in things that we shouldn't be, you know, all stirred up about. But the truth of the matter is the Bible is giving you objectivity from God's point of view. You and I have a very dangerous weakness in our nature. We can become very subjective in our thinking. And when we do that, then we fall prey to this type of thing that Satan has always used on mankind, to overthrow, to destroy. And again, the question I asked you at the beginning, you have to ask yourself before God, how rock solid is your foundation in the things of God and what you believe according to Scripture, not what men say, but according to Scripture, what God says. Philippians chapter 2, if you will. Book of Philippians reminds us that in all things that we're engaged in, The Word of God speaks strongly to this very thing. Philippians chapter 2, and boy, I mean, so many scriptures are just jumping off the page right now with all this going on. And again, does it cause you to become extremely concerned or anxiety prone? You should not be, because Jesus said, in me you will have peace, in the world you will have these upsets and tribulation. Now, none of us like it. I think all of us would rather just have peace and quiet and no problems whatsoever. But it says it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God, which means we live in a world that is going to press us to the nth degree. And what I see in Matthew 24, it's going to get to the place, it says that there's going to be so much going down out there that if it were possible, they would deceive even the very elect. That unless you know your Bible, this thing is going to look so good. And if we can't meet the test, this is what's scary, folks. If we can't meet the test now and be crying out to God and asking for His help and humbling ourselves and working together instead of allowing ourselves to be pulled in this way, what's going to happen when we know the Scripture tells us there's coming a time where people are going to be forced to make decisions? Now you can make your decision pretty much on your own, how you're going to live. What happens if suddenly your life is at stake, your family, and you're told, do this or you die? Now, that's a heavy decision. That's something none of us want to ever have to face. Why? Because we want to be accounted worthy to escape all those things. None of us want to go into that problem. I don't want to see anybody go into those problems that the Bible addresses. So what are we told? Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, here's what God's emphasis is. He says, because you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, because you see, you don't have to have someone standing over you to do the right thing. You know by the Spirit of God working in your life what you are called to do. And so you function accordingly. And God's eyes see everything, and may God have mercy on us all. Because I don't think anyone can stand and say, I've done it perfectly. No one, minister or layperson. We've all made mistakes. You have, I have. The council has made their mistakes, in all due respect to the council. They made their mistakes. Our ministers recognize that. But you see, you can disagree about different things. And I might not like a decision. You might not like a decision. But as a pastor, church pastor, I have no right to destroy a congregation or influence you and turn you against the council. They are the ones sending the tithes and offerings that help pay a salary to yours truly so that I can be here to shepherd you and to help you. And that's my great joy as your pastor. You are the sheep of Jesus Christ. You are cherished in the eyes of Almighty God. And then when I read certain things like Jeremiah 23, verse 1, that says, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter my sheep. I wouldn't want to have to face that. I wouldn't want to have to face that. I don't think any sound, God-fearing man serving in the ministry would want to face that. And then in Ezekiel, we also have another one. Hold your place here. Let me give you another quick scripture in the book of Ezekiel that kind of has a resonance here. Something that we need to look at. Ezekiel 22 and verse 25. Now, see, this type of thing goes on constantly in this world because this is the world we live in. Call it a conspiracy theory. Call it what you want. But the Word of God says in that verse 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. And like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls, and they have taken the treasure and the precious things, and they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, and profane my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, and neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean. And have what? Have had their eyes, they've turned, hid their eyes actually from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Now there are accusations saying that the United Church of God is going to change the Sabbath. They can't change the Sabbath. I told you it has to go to 75% of the General Conference of Elders. It has to be put forth in a proposition, a resolution rather, and it's not going to be. Our president presently says that's not going to happen. That's not what we're committed to. We're not going to change the laws of God, but yet those accusations are out there. So we have to be very, very careful when we hear those things, and we have to recognize again that there are some, and that particular individual on his blog site up in Canada, he has actually put documentation on his site showing that there was things going on under the noses of the United Church of God while they were receiving their paychecks from United, but yet were planning to make this move. Now, why not just be honorable and just say, look, we're going to go, and we're going to resign because we want to go. Why would you do that? As one person told me, who's very knowledgeable about things like this, he said, that thing smacks of a plan. He said, it smacks of a plan because you just don't get up and move in churches and everything else and halls and all. It has to be laid out, plan. And so that's what we find here, a problem that has existed but now is full-blown out in the open for all to see. And God, of course, makes that very clear. He tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. Wherever there's something going on that shouldn't be going on, God allows enough time to go on for everybody then to finally see it and all the pieces come together. Now take a look at Philippians again, chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, not only because you obey in my presence, but now he says, much more in my absence. And the admonition is this, to work out your own salvation. See, nobody can work it for you. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time in study of the Scriptures. You have to make decisions based on how God is talking to you through the Spirit of God working in your mind. And he says, with fear and trembling, because it's not a game that we're involved in. And notice he says in verse 13, he says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. His good pleasure. And then notice verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And what have we had going on? Murmuring and disputing. People getting themselves all riled up over things that really, no wonder Jesus says when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will people become so subjective and looking to themselves that they fail to recognize that God has been there all along? Our sanctification is through the Word of God, John 17:17, where it says, sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. And that's where you and I are at this time. And Jesus reminds us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, a wonderful promise that, God willing, we all will qualify for. Because you have kept the word of my patience, notice, you've persevered and you've had patience. Hebrews 10, I think, tells us that you have to have first do the patience, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, then you'll receive the promise. So here in Revelation 3 and verse 10, he says, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. There's going to be some heavy decisions coming down in the years ahead. If we think this is something that gets us all worked up, worried about, and we're not sure about our decisions in life, wait till this time comes, because this is the final watch. Our leaders need to recognize in our church and all these churches of God that are serving what they claim is God's people. They better recognize that Satan is on a warpath. He wants to destroy wherever he can. You and I have family and loved ones and friends in many of these different groups, and we need to pray for everyone. That should be our goal. It's not brother against brother. We don't want to fulfill those prophecies. We want to fulfill what God has told us, to love one another. And this is how it's going to be made known and manifest, that you're not out there clobbering one another, throwing stones at one another, trying to say, we're more righteous than you are. We better all walk humbly before the hand of Almighty God. No, Paul was he understood how serious this thing was. And the bride of Christ, it ends in the book of Revelation by telling us that the bride is going to do what? The bride and Christ say, come, follow. Follow his lead. The church of God is being given a serious wake-up call. And what I'd like to do is to wrap this up by covering some basic things here and reading a few comments from some of our elders, because I think it does set a tenor here to help us understand what's transpiring. What is happening in the church of God is a microcosm of what is happening in the world right now. If you take a look at the world, you can almost see it's a small version of what's happening in the world. And we're all having to learn from this, and we're told to come out of this. And it makes us wonder, as one man said, you know, I wonder if God has been given a challenge by Satan, like he did with Job. He said, you know, I wonder how many of these ministers and these people are really your people and your ministers. Let me at them for a while. Let me give them a little bit of a heavy hand, and let's see just where they stand. Very perceptive comment. Even Jesus told Peter, who was well-meaning in what he did, when Jesus said he's going to have to go to Jerusalem, he's going to have to suffer things at the hands of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders. And what did he say? He said, no, Lord, you're not going to go. We don't want you to go there and get killed by these individuals. And Jesus went bypassing Peter and went right to the heart and the core. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor the things of men and not the things of God. Satan is always at work. And that's what you and I have to keep in mind. Otherwise, he hides in the background and he lets others do his dirty work. And it says in Romans, to whom you yield yourself, his servants you are. And I've quoted, I think, in the past that Bob Dylan song that he made famous some years ago called, you're going to serve somebody. It's either going to be God or it's going to be the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. So you've got to be careful who you're allowing yourself to yield to. As long as it's Jesus Christ and the Word of God, you have got the right direction going for you. But people are being manipulated in this world. I think we see that. We hear that from certain commentators right now. They're digging into the history of things and seeing how we've been manipulated as a nation, trying to educate people. Well, we've been manipulated even in the church of God by situations and circumstances that sometimes cause us to go in directions that maybe we should not have gone. God is allowing us to learn a lot in all of this because he says there's an evil behind this world in which we live in. And you and I sometimes can, you know, walk out on Sabbath services and we go back out into this world and we forget, we just get caught up in our daily routine and we forget we're in the enemy's territory when we go out there. And every one of us need God's protection. We should be praying for one another, for all parties involved, because people are under assault right now. And God wants us to be mindful, I'm the answer that you're looking for. You can see, get a little bit of a taste out of this if you study Ezekiel chapter 8. I'm not going to go there, but in Ezekiel chapter 8, you'll find some duality of prophecy, things that happened back at that time. We are spiritual Israel and spiritual Judah, and we do compose what the spiritual Bible says, the temple of God. And as the temple of God, we need to understand that like most prophecies, because it is dual, it has an impact on us today. It's all written for our learning. The Bible is very clear on that. And so we are to use it so that God can preserve his people in these trials and these tests. There is a term that you need to familiarize yourself with. You check it out. You can go on the internet, use your dictionary. It's called Hegelian dialectic. Hegelian dialectic. And if you study that, you'll understand what's going on in the world, because it leaves the world in a state of confusion. They think things are just happening because by accident. Oh, no. Everything is planned in this world. The Hegelian dialectic are people who work behind the scenes and believe in this particular philosophy, and that's what is working heavily in the world right now. It has worked also and been absorbed even into the Church of God. And we have to be careful, because we can be manipulated if we're not careful. That's why it says God wants you to keep your eyes on Him and watch and pray. What did the Apostle Paul? He says, I warned you for 3 years about this. And once I'm gone, and he said he did it with tears. Now, was he doing that for a show, or did he know something that there would be people who would come in and manipulate? Now, that's not everybody, but there's somebody's out there manipulating, somebody behind the scenes. And we jump to the higher area and we look and see, oh, yes, Satan's doing his dirty work. And he's using whoever he can, even if they're sincere about what they're doing. Anybody can be sincere about what they're doing and still be manipulated by the adversary. That's why the Bible is given. You have to look into the Bible to get objectivity, or you are swayed. Now, how many of us have been swayed at times in our lives? We've all been swayed. And when you suddenly realize what happened, what the light went on, and you said, boy, I'm not doing that again. That's why I've often said, as human beings, doesn't it get under your skin at times to find out you're so smart and stupid at the same time? We're so smart that we think we know something, and then we pull a dumb stunt that proves, no, you got an awful lot to learn. And that's one of the great lessons God is teaching us. You're seeing in this world of manipulation how Satan the devil had to, as Lucifer, manipulate a third of the angels to do what? God is evil. God is holding us down. He's the authority. He's arbitrary. He doesn't care about us. And here you have the same repetitive plan of attack again and again. All it is what these individuals who practice Hegelian dialect is this. And you've wondered about this like I have. You've had questions. I'll show you a small thing. The Kennedy assassination. Wouldn't you like to know more about that? There are still questions unanswered. But the law was passed to seal it. Let's say about 50, 60 years. Why would you do that? Why would you have any particular situation in politics? Why would they seal this stuff? That's because all the players will be long gone. And you can't go after them then. But a new set of players come on the scene. And some have said that life is just that way. It's the same old play with just new actors every generation. This is your and my generation. This is our time to face the realities of this. No, it's a time when God has told us that we must recognize that this is the end time period that it was warned about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in verse 11, now all these things happen to them for our examples, and so that we would do what? They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or age are come. And in this context, he says, wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So we've got to be careful that we don't think we have it all together. Even Paul says, we see in part. We don't always get everything the way it actually is. And so we need to look to God for the final answer. And it goes on to say, there is no temptation taken you, but is common to all men. For God is faithful, and he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But will that temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it? But notice verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." Ezekiel 20 says that the two great sins that brought ancient Israel down was Sabbath breaking and idolatry. Now, idolatry can take many different forms, and of course, Sabbath breaking, we are all commanded to keep it holy. So we've got to be careful that we don't get sloppy with it in this day and age, because that's the kind of sloppy age we live in. God says we need to take His things seriously. And so many things need to be looked at, many things will be looked at, and the United Church of God will go forward. And I'd like to read now a couple commentaries here from some of our ministers, how they are reacting from it. And you get the sense, this individual's from California, and he says, "My fellow ministers, as you are all aware, in recent weeks, the United Church of God has taken a heavy blow from our real enemy, Satan the devil, an enemy who very desperately wants us to fail in fulfilling Jesus Christ's great commission to preach the gospel to all the world and to prepare a people for rulership in the kingdom of God. Dividing God's people is no new tactic for him. While a number of pastors and elders have submitted their resignations from the organization, our organization, it is clear that the vast majority have not and will not, despite denials to the contrary. There is little doubt that these mass resignations, as well as plans to start another competing church or churches, have been secretly underway for quite some time. In my opinion, the leaders of these men who have resigned in recent days and weeks finally came to realize that in spite of a long and vicious internet smear campaign to malign and undermine our duly elected leadership and governmental system, that the overwhelming majority of the conference, General Conference of Elders, was not going to support their rebellion against the Council of Elders and the administration, and have chosen rather to leave and submit to others, rather than to submit to others whom some of them look disdainfully upon as spiritual and intellectual lessers." In other words, they look down on some of their fellow elders in the church. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us why there are these kinds of divisions among us. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 18 and 19. He says, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it." Verse 19, "For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." He says, "I am confident that as an organization we will move forward with the full media publication and internet access of the United Church of God, a debt-free home office building at our disposal to complete the work of God He's given us to do. We will move forward in peace without capitulation to politically motivated attacks, peace without appeasement to tyrannical demands, and peace without abandoning the scriptural and foundational principles of our Constitution and bylaws. I believe and pray that we will move forward together more unified than at any other time in our 15 and a half year history." This also is another particular one that came from one of our Canadian elders. He said, "Since my past post on the elders' forum, talking to the ministry," he says, "I have spent some time traveling through the murky waters of the internet," that's a good way of phrasing it, "and the many postings and open letters that disaffected people have been posting for quite some time. What I found was most perturbing and unfortunately most revealing. I have found rationalizations for clear acts of rebellion to establish authority instead of a humble spirit of repentance. I have found accusations, innuendos, exaggerations, and demands. I have found an agitated spirit, which shows no inner peace and no true longing for peace with others. I found no faith in Christ as a capable leader of his church who is able to bring about any necessary changes. I have found no self-control and no patient waiting so that the established system directed by Christ would self-correct if that is what was necessary. In short, I looked for the signs of the fruit of God's Spirit, and instead I found indications that the work of the flesh were at work. Not quite revealing. One of our elders from Nigeria made the statement. He said, well, when we were not looking, Satan hit us, and he hit us hard. So these are things that help us to understand that this is not something strange and new, but it is not something we like. We're all bleeding heart in this. We're feeling sorry and hurtful, you know, as to why couldn't men with the Spirit of God, and we have to say, God knows who does and who doesn't, but why can't men who claim to serve in the Church of God, why can't they just sit down and talk? People have said, and the rumblings have been since United starting, why can't we all get together? All of God's people love, but it's the leadership of all these different Church of God groups that get in the way. They get in the way and cause a stumbling block for the Church of God. We all want to move forward. Maybe it is the destiny of why Revelation 11 in verse 1, just a thought that I share with you. It says that we are to do something. It says, measure the temple and those by the altar. The ministry is being weighed in the balance, and so is the membership of the Church of God. And I think that's where Satan is alive and well, and he'll do everything he can do to cause your spiritual foundation to begin to crack rather than to rely on that rock.